Second Peter chapter 3, and we'll look at our verse for the year in particular and some of the verses that are surrounding it. Our theme for the year is a greater vision. Each month we've looked at a verse that relates to a vision, an aspect of our vision, our outlook, we might say, and our expectation. And this month's verse is about looking for something that will occur in the future, and Peter calls it here the day of God. The day of God, or the day of the Lord, is a term that's used throughout the Scripture and really used to refer not to a 24-hour day, not to a particular one day, but a period of time as such of God's judgment being poured out upon the earth. In Acts 17:31, Paul, preaching on Mars Hill, says, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. We're studying Revelation on Wednesday nights. We're not there yet, but we're going to get to the part where God's judgment is going to be poured out upon the earth, not just for one 24-hour day, but over a seven-year period of time. And so we look at the statement, the day of the Lord, the day of God, we realize that it refers to a larger part of time. And in a great way, probably verse 12, our verse really refers to the culmination of that day when God makes a new heaven and a new earth and so on. But just a few thoughts from this tonight about looking for the day of God. Our theme again is a vision, and so we're looking for the day of God. The Bible says we are to look for that day. In verse 12, in our verse that we read together this evening, it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. And so we're to be looking for that time. The day of the Lord will come whether we're looking for it or not, by the way. It's coming. God's judgment is coming. God's wrath is going to be poured out on this earth whether we're ready for it or not. The old kids game, you know, hide and go seek, you know, you count down and then ready or not, here I come. Well, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, his judgment's going to be poured out. Ready or not, these events are going to unfold. But Peter says we should be looking for it. We should be looking for it, and the thought of that looking for has the anticipation or to watch with expectation. It's used of the lame man who sat outside the temple when Peter and John were going in and he had his cup ready there and he cried out for alms, and it says he looked upon them. He was looking, expecting his cup to be filled with some coin, but they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And so it was a greatly different thing than he expected. But that thought of expectation, he was expecting a gift of money. He got something far greater. The word is also used of Paul when he was on the island of Melita after the shipwreck. And the Bible says that they made a fire and to dry themselves out, to warm themselves up, and the natives of the island were there as well. And a snake, a viper, came out and it bit Paul on the hand. And it says that the people looked at him, and that same word, expecting, he's going to die. He just got bit by a poisonous snake. The expectation was, he is going to die. But that word, expectation, to look with expectation. Christians here are instructed to live in expectation of the day of God. Why? Because God said it was going to come, and all his prophecies come true, and so we should expect it. Verse 9 reminds us that the Lord is not slack or lazy concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason that the day of God has been delayed is the long-suffering of God. He's giving longer for people to respond. He's giving more of an opportunity for people to listen and hear his voice and be saved. Sometimes we want to anticipate things, but we are afraid that we will be let down. Such will not be the case with anything that God has prophesied. We don't need to worry about gearing up for it and then having a letdown. We can expect it fully because God has said we are to live in expectation of it, and his word is always true. It is something that God has told us to expect so that we can be ready for it. He says in other places about different aspects of the day of God that they will come as a thief in the night. And it's used even here, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so he said it's going to be something that will happen very unexpectedly, so watch for it, so it doesn't catch you off guard. He's warned us that it would be happening. He's told us that it's coming, so be expecting it. Look for it with expectation. But in verse 12, he doesn't only say looking for, he says hasting unto. That's one thing to look for something, but then another added thing to be hasting unto the coming of the day of God. The word for hasting means to urge on or to await eagerly. So more than just to wait with expectation, we are to have an eager expectation or an eager anticipation of what is going to take place. We should do the live in anticipation of the day eagerly, a desire to see it happen. Remember what John said in John 22, almost the last verse of John chapter 22, not quite, but he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." What was he saying? Lord, okay, any time you can come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It was one of the words in the song we sang tonight. It is well with my soul. Even so is in quotation marks if you look in that. Why? Because it's taken from John's word. Even so, the trump shall resound. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And eagerly awaiting that time. Though there are some horrific events that will take place and happen at that time, at that day, we are to eagerly await it because of the result. The culmination of that day will be amazing. The culmination of the day of God will be an amazing time. And so we are to wait for it. We are to hasten the day or hasting unto that day. There are some great things that are mentioned here in 2 Peter chapter 3 that will happen as a result of the day of the Lord. He says that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and be dissolved. That'll be quite something, won't it? When the heavens are dissolved, they pass away with a great noise. People talk about the Big Bang happening billions of years ago to begin evolution. No, the Big Bang is the big noise that's going to be at the end when God said, that's it. It's going to pass away. The elements will melt with fervent heat. We hear a lot about global warming. Well, there's going to be some severe global warming, isn't it? When the very elements of the earth melt with a fervent heat. God will destroy the earth and its atmosphere, the heavens. Not speaking about God's place of dwelling, but the heavens, we talk about the first, second, and third heaven as being the atmosphere, and then the outer space, and then where God dwells. And so we realize it's not God's domain that's going to be remade here. His throne is in the heavens. I don't see God making new heavens as far as where He dwells. But He says there'll be a new heaven, and new heavens and a new earth. God's going to destroy the earth with all its atmosphere. The former things are passed away, John records in Revelation 21, verse 4. And in that case, the former things passing away, that's a good thing, isn't it? The things that are mentioned as passing away, that's good that they're going to be passing away. And so the heavens will pass away with great noise, and there'll be new heavens and a new earth. And that's found in verse number 13, where it says, looking for and hastening unto, in verse 12, it says, nevertheless, we look, according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This earth, beautiful as it is in many ways, is cursed because of sin. It's not what God made it to be. It's not what God made it to be in the beginning. It's cursed because of sin. It's hard for us to imagine what the world looked like in the beginning, isn't it? People paint those pictures of Adam and Eve in the garden. And, you know, you see all the beautiful flowers and trees and plants and all those kind of things and the animals and everything else. And you say, wow, that looks very pretty. That's very beautiful. But I don't think in our human minds, I don't think we can imagine just how beautiful it must have been on this earth before it was cursed by sin. Because it's still a beautiful place in many places now. And that's after a lot of great changes have taken place, such as the great flood and earthquakes and all kinds of different things that have taken place. But the Bible says in that new heavens and in new earth, there'll be no more sickness, pain, sorrow, or parting. That'll be great. It's not nice to say goodbye. It's not nice to lose a loved one and you know, to say we won't see them till we meet them again in heaven. But in heaven, there will be no more sickness, no more pain. In that new earth that God has made, it'll be no curse in that place. There'll be no weeds growing. No thorns and thistles. In the new heavens and new earth, the Bible says there will dwell wherein dwelleth righteousness. To replace the wickedness that dwells here on earth, and we think of the devil who's called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There'll be none of that in the new heavens and new earth. It'll be a place where there is, as we said, no more curse of sin, no more sin. Righteousness will be there. Revelation 22:3 says there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know what I like about this time of the year is leaving the windows open, gets nice fresh air in. You know what's lousy on this earth and the day in which we live? You say, well, I'd like to leave the window open, but I can't leave a downstairs window open because somebody's probably going to break in. Wouldn't it be great when you don't have to worry about anyone breaking into your mansion in heaven? There's no thieves. No thieves there. The Bible says there's no criminals of any kind. No corruption. As we said this morning, we talked about fraud and lying and how it's hard to tell the truth sometimes. And, well, there's none of that in heaven. None of that in the new earth. It'll be a great thing. We should haste unto that day because, hey, there's good things about that. Yeah, there's terrible judgment to God. We think this is terrible, but this is what God has said. He's extending His mercy as long as He can to give people the opportunity. But one day when all this culminates and happens, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's going to be a great time and a great place. There's many things that should make us eagerly await that day. And so we should look for the day, haste for the day, and live for that day. What's the philosophy of today? Jesus said it back in His day, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. But what should be the philosophy of the believer? Because the philosophy of the world is that, isn't it? Let's just party up, do what we can in this world, because who knows how long we've got. But for the Christian, because that day is coming, what does he say in verse 14? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him of peace, without spot and blameless. Account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. He said already in verse 9 about Him not being slack concerning His promise. And he talks about verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, they're all going to melt with fervent heat. What manner of persons are you to be? We are to live for that day, looking for that day, hasting to that day, and living for that day. You just cannot live the same way knowing what is ahead. We ought to be less attached. Verse 11 says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Well, we get attached, don't we, to all the things in this life. I'm just as guilty of it as anybody else. We like our house or our car and our things, and there's nothing wrong with those things. God says, again, He gave us richly all things to enjoy, but sometimes we grip them as if this is the be-all and end-all of life, to have these things. But God says all these things are going to be dissolved. And knowing that, what manner of persons ought you to be? We should have a little bit less of a grip on the things of this life. I wonder how often we let those temporal things keep us from serving God, because we say, well, if I do that, I won't have time to do this pleasurable thing for me. And again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life and having pleasure and enjoying the good pleasure of this life, but sometimes we let them take over our service for God, don't we? But if we live thinking that all these things are going to be dissolved, we will be a little bit less stressed about those rust spots and scratches and dents and damages and stains and those things. Again, we should look after what we have, but the Bible says, well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The songwriter says, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they are borrowed and not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Remind me where you brought me from and what I could have been. It's a memory, isn't it? It's thinking about, look, if this is all going to be dissolved, what kind of person should I be? Another songwriter said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Looking for that day will cause us to lessen our grip on the things of this life. It will also cause a holy conversation, and that's what he says in verse 11, also in verse 14, that without spot and blameless, in all holy conversation. If we look for that day and realize that the Lord is coming and the Lord is bringing his judgment upon this earth, then we live differently. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Be ye holy, for I am holy, he says in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Pure in thoughts, pure, honest in speech, righteous in living. We're destined for a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. So let's be ready for that righteousness. And godliness. Holiness is godliness, but he mentions it separately. Why? To be like God, be holy as God is holy, but also to be like him, to walk closely with him, walk in the light as he is in the light, and have that fellowship one with another, and let his blood cleanse you from sin. We're destined for that world of righteousness, that world of fellowship with him, and so we should get to know more about him, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That's how we become godly, by knowing more about who he is, and being reminded of what he has done. And may I say to you also, by living for that day, we are also more opportunistic. Say, opportunistic? What do you mean? Well, verse 15 reminds us, it says, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Verse 9 says that he is not slack, but he's long suffering. Verse 15 says, account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. So, well, we're already saved. We're here tonight. We meet around the Word of God, and I trust that you know the Lord is your Savior. You say, what do you mean by being opportunistic? Well, today is the day of salvation. If you're saved, praise God for that. That's great. But that means today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace. Not just for you and me. Today is the day of grace for everybody. Today is a time of salvation for all. We need to consider that God's delay is salvation. So who can I have the opportunity to win to Christ in this day of grace? Let's use this time to bring people to Christ so that they will be spared from the wrath to come. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When the Lord comes, our opportunity to win souls to him will be over. And so looking for the day of God will make us better soul winners. Let me ask you tonight, are you looking for the day of God? That's been our verse, looking for the coming of the day of God. But hasting unto it and living for it. Let's be people who do those things, because it is coming, whether we are ready for it or not, and whether we are looking for it or not.